Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into the CHGO Bears podcast on this Tuesday. It's Tuesday, right?
It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday.
I have no idea.
You get a mini bye and all the days are all messed up. I can't keep track. Cole Kmet in studio, though. Most importantly, what's up, Cole?
Good to be back. Good to be back. Thanks for having me, guys.
This is our first live in studio appearance. Second time here. And of course, we got to talk to you Friday as well. Remotely after the game. We won't grill you so much about the game today. Hopefully have some fun. Adam Hoge, Mark Carman, Cole Kmet, Greg Braggs Jr. all here.
I still have questions.
Hey, fire away, man.
I've got some deep stuff here, but go ahead, Hoge.
After our pre-show meeting where you were just showing him videos of all your bad music videos, he probably has more questions for you now.
I was fired up too. I was asking Cole about Tyson, and then he wanted to. He was dying to see the music video, and we ended up doing the Secret Peterman video.
Your courage is outstanding to film those and
that was,
put them on.
Yeah. So thank you. I filmed those. That was like the fourth take on each. Those.
How are you not dying laughing in the background?
I had to sit through that.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Uh-oh. That's funny.
That is a lie. And
it
I
is.
Will
the,
call
first time, the first take, it's like, all right, this is the funniest thing ever. Then by the fourth take, you're like, someone saved me.
Secret Peterman was one take. Secret Beige Man
that's
was supposed to like five.
You did hit your stride on
I hit Secret Peterman. I was there.
I'm impressed.
You take that back.
I'm impressed.
I take it back.
You don't have to say that. You can say it's terrible.
I'm impressed with the courage. That's what I'm impressed with. I mean, to film that?
He's been very clear. He has not said that the music was any good. Yeah. He's complimented Carm for basically
willing to be an idiot.
Yes, there we
go. And you, did you come up with the writing?
I did.
So what would you give out of 10? What would you give your writing skills?
I'm going to give myself a 7.8.
They're pretty, I'll agree, pretty creative. Yeah.
I mean, I do have.
He's got some in the pocket. He's got some holstered up.
Oh, I mean, I got a great one for Justin, but he's kind of accelerated past it, so I don't. It's
oh my God, what is going on here?
This is the nonsense I deal with every day.
Do you know John Denver's song "Country Roads"?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well,
it's based
on
okay.
It was based on that, but it was because that's not going to make it anymore. So I'll just give it out there. It was Justin Fields run the ball, and Justin Fields run the ball to the place you belong in the end zone, scoring touchdown, celebrating.
See, the lyrics actually aren't bad.
That's pretty good. That's not bad. That's pretty good.
Come on,
that's pretty good.
Maybe you're like Chris Stapleton, where he had to spend years and years of writing great songs before he became the star.
That might have been it.
Maybe you're like Bernie Taupin, and you just write for Elton John.
Well,
you just need an actual singer.
All this is true, but I want to segue into a real topic here because, like, I thought that Fields needed to run the ball to unlock the offense, but he didn't. But it didn't turn out that way. 8 touchdown passes, and so you guys are on another whole level. So
yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't say he's not running. You know, you see him moving out of the pot. I can classify that as being able to run a little bit more. Yeah. I mean, because he always has that option to take off and run if he wants to. So. Yeah, I mean, defenses have kind of been backing off and playing soft with him, and it's been hard to, you know, manufacture the true run game with him. But when he gets out of that pocket, man, that threat's still there to run. So
that's definitely the thing that stood out the most. I mean, last year there was those clear adjustments made midway through the season.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it had to do with him, you know, running and making dynamic plays on his own. This year it hasn't been that since that adjustment change. It's all been behind the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you've seen, like, Just his poise in the pocket as well. The past couple of games has been great, and his anticipation with throwing and knowing where he wants to go with the ball pre-snap. That's been pretty cool to see. So hopefully we can continue that, keep rolling along with it. And, you know, defenses are going to adjust here and see what we've kind of done these past two games. And we just got to be able to adjust back and make plays going forward.
Obviously, like, things sort of got unlocked on Thursday night. It started probably against the Broncos, but why do you think on a short week it just clicked?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's just kind of how this game is at times. Like, things just happen, and then you get in ruts sometimes, and you don't know why, but you just got to kind of fight through it. I mean, when you got, I think this past Thursday, you know, DJ doing things with the ball after the catch is really special. And but then again, that goes to Justin's decisiveness as a thrower, knowing where he wants to go with the ball pre-snap and executing those throws, all those things. So it was cool to look at the tape this past week just because there was still so much that we left out on the table as well. So, you know, I think we got a lot of potential as an offense, and the dudes up front have been playing great as well too. And I've actually thought that since the beginning of the year. And, you know, the skill groups, we just had to catch up a little bit in our execution. But, yeah, I think there's a lot left that we left out there, and a lot more to go for sure.
Is DJ as cool as he seems? Seems like they're the most chill cat of all time.
He's super chill. He's super chill. He loves cooking at home. So we're always talking about like different meals that he's making. He seems like a big fan of ramen. So he's always trying to get the noodles right. Can't get them quite, or the noodles. He'll talk about like not getting them quite al dente. So he's got.
So he's a precise DJ.
Yeah.
He's looking for. He's not just running routes the way he does his precise action. Right, he does it with the ramen.
Yeah. Wait, absolutely.
Now, Cole, do you dig on the ramen? Are you a ramen guy?
I like ramen. Yeah. I've never made ramen at home. My mom makes a good ramen bowl.
Do you go to Mitsua?
I have been to Mitsua. Oh, I have been. Very good. Amazing. Yes. Very good. Well, yes.
One of Arlington Heights' finest spots.
Yes.
All right. Lawrence.
Japanese grocery store's amazing.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Their food court's crazy. It's just there like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But by the way, I do think we need to acknowledge happy Connor Bedard Day to everybody who celebrates. Big day in the city. That's why a lot of us rocking some of our hockey gear here at CHGO.
Yeah, they were making fun of me about my Zubaz hat.
I mean, it's a sick hat, man.
Thank you. Yeah. Sick hat.
Come on.
The old timer.
Come on. You would not put that, Cole. You would not put that on your head.
I couldn't put it on my head. He can, though. It looks good on him.
I pull it off.
Yeah, he pulls it off
everybody
well.
Everybody can pull it
you
off.
You look ridiculous.
I mean, I respect your willingness to look ridiculous is similar to the song whole situation, but that
rocking
but
Meatball Island with the Zubaz.
But I think you think the hat looks good. Like you, like I
think the hat looks good.
Right. Yeah.
That's the only way you can wear it is if you feel it.
What are you feeling?
I feel good.
Okay.
Feeling ready to roll.
Okay.
I like Cole's hat. That's the Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, this hat is Jimmy's foundation. So you only get the hat if you go on the helicopter with him.
Yeah.
So I went on the helicopter with him, and I actually drove the helicopter for
you
a little bit.
Drove the
helicopter? Yeah, I did. Yeah, that was pretty crazy. Me and my buddy at the time was, he went to Miami, the U. So we went down there, for a spring break deal during the off season. And I told Jimmy we were down there. So then Jimmy set up a deal with the Huey helicopter. And when we got up there, he's like, all right, you're going to take over here in a few seconds. And then I was maneuvering this thing around Miami for a good 15
That's
minutes.
Insane.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. It was pretty wild. But it was really cool. Really cool.
How wild is it with Jimmy Graham when he's doing all his?
It's crazy. Well, with most people, I would not do that stuff just because I wouldn't trust him. But like Jimmy's so like detailed in everything he does. And like, I mean, when we got there, it was, you better lock in because he was cussing us out to get in our seats and buckle up and, you know, don't move unless I say you move, all those things. So you're feeling good when he gets up in the air. He knows what he's doing.
That's leadership we needed.
There's no doors on that thing, is there? Or is there?
No, we were strapped in. So, yeah, I mean, crazy. He tilts it and you're like leaning over and the straps are holding you in. Yeah, it's crazy.
Jimmy Graham had low key one of my like, it's not favorite's not the right word, but the way he walked off that playoff game in New Orleans, like I know you guys lost and it didn't feel good, but you had to laugh about that later. Like
he's fantastic.
Do you guys remember this? Like so,
I do.
That's Jimmy to a T. That's fantastic.
The game's over. Jimmy Graham catches his touchdown as time expires, and he just goes straight up the tunnel. Like yep, that's it.
Yeah,
and it was so funny. And there's a Brandon Faber was standing right down there in the end zone, and he just sort of like looks and follows them up the tunnel. It was something about it made me laugh so hard. I just found it really entertaining.
That's Jimmy. That's Jimmy to a T. Yeah. No, that was pretty funny.
He's like, and I'm out.
Yeah.
And I'm that's done. It. And even, I don't know if being in New Orleans had something to do with it too, but he's still with the Saints, right?
Yeah, he just got back with him.
He scored a touchdown.
Scored a touchdown. Yeah, he ran a nice little five-step in cut. Yeah, scored. Yeah, it was good to see. So hopefully get him more tugs down there with Derek Carr.
All right.
Not when you guys play him.
Just not when we play him. Yeah,
that
right.
Defense getting goose egged that week. Going to be an interesting week for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take it 1 week at a time, man.
One week at a time.
Minnesota.
It's all about
right
the
now.
Vikings.
I'm not good at that. I talk about everything.
Yeah, I can't. I can't talk about
off season.
Oh my!
I talk about all.
What the hell?
I talk about all scenarios.
We're in October, man.
I'm focused on this week.
And the draft. You're focused on this week in the NFL draft.
Oh my God, that's insane.
I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm talking about a lot of different things. I can't help myself.
Oh wow.
Don't do it.
I'm not doing it.
Don't go down the rabbit hole.
Got me in trouble last night.
Kick us off the set.
All right. Okay. So let's. Should we do a little Minnesota? Can we do Minnesota?
We can do Minnesota.
Let's do Minnesota.
Well, more so than Minnesota. Let's just talk about you guys. Like, do you feel like the offense is about to be in a spot where we can do what we've done the last 2 weeks moving forward? Like, you like sort of, I mean, yeah, you
well
never
that,
know.
Well, that's sure the hope. I mean, I'm not going to come out here and be like, oh yeah, we're taking off from here. You know, we're good and there's going to be no issues going forward. Cause that's hard to account for. You know what I mean? So, but I definitely think you can see our potential as to what we can play to and with the players that we got. And I think as we get this line up front shored up, where we're playing with guys and we're more cohesive up there, I think that's a big deal. We haven't really had that whole five unit.
He's
fantastic, super athletic, man.
I mean, powerful.
Yeah. Oh, he's great. Yeah, I mean, he can really bend at his size, and he's got some great power. And obviously, you know, Darnell's, like I was telling you guys last episode, just really special, I think, and in terms of his athletic ability at his size. It's, you know, you don't really see it a lot in the league, and I think just the more reps he gets and the more he knows kind of what he's doing out there, he's just going to keep getting better and better. So I think getting that cohesion up front is going to be big, and obviously us in skill group, you know, just keep going, and, you know, guys are going to play DJ differently, so, you know, now it's going to be on me and Moon to take over some of those things in the one-on-one matchups, and then when the defense shades back, like you go back to DJ, all those things. So we got a lot of weapons that we can deploy, but it just, again, I think it just comes down to our execution.
You're paying off, by the way. Just so you know, I've got little love on you each week on your overs. So I'm like Cole's getting the football. I mean, they're sleeping on you. They have not adjusted to what's going on. So thank you.
Yeah, no, it's been nice working underneath. You got DJ Moon over top, so it's nice for me to work underneath like that.
So how do you actually feel it like mid game when you got somebody like DJ Moore out there commanding extra attention just as the tight end more in the middle of the field?
Yeah, well, I think what was interesting against Washington is, you know, I don't like know how much in game adjustments they really made. Is they did bring some zero still, even with DJ out there, and you know he's gonna make you pay if you're gonna do that, and Justin's able to get the ball out in time. So, but you know, I think for me, what I've noticed in the first couple games, you know, these first 5 weeks, is when he's catching those daggers over the middle or those sail routes, you know, I mean 20 plus yards down the field, like teams are getting more soft, and you know I've noticed just on I'm just chipping to the flat, like those are way more open than they were in years past, and you know you're a lot more yards after catching those scenarios, so. Instead of getting tackled, you know, you're getting swarmed at 6 yards. You know, I'm getting 10 yards on those things. So, yeah, those are the things that, you know, when you have a good receiving unit like we do, and you got guys that can stretch the field like that, you know, it obviously benefits me and even our running backs underneath.
Taurean Whitfield brought it up in the chat, and certainly some, you know, talking about guys that can stretch the field. Tyler Scott.
Yeah.
You know, now that it seems like more opportunity is going to open up at wide receiver. Like how much of an adjustment has it been for him? Because like at camp, to me, he separates as good as anyone. He reminds me a lot of Johnny Knox from years back, and I'm excited to see him really get his teeth into the offense.
Yeah, well, obviously his speed is outstanding, and I mean, I just think for any rookie, it's so hard to come in and just be like and produce and be awesome right away. Just because it's not necessarily his athletic ability, it just him getting reps, you know what I mean? So I think the more as he gets reps in this offense, the more we're going to be able to use him, and he can do some really cool things with the ball in his hands. And but yeah, I think for him, it's just about seeing defenses, and that's the one thing as a young player, and when you're growing in this league, is just to get as many reps and as many sights on the defense as you can. So the more he gets that, I think the better off he'll be, the more he'll have an understanding of what he's doing out there. And yeah, I think he'll be able to take off from there.
So Mooney doesn't get a catch last week. Justin missed him a couple times, whatever. Mm-hmm. DJ goes for 230 yards. Then after the game, Darnell goes on Twitter and salutes DJ.
Yeah.
Just can we talk about
that's the type of dude he is.
Yeah, look, can we just like I'm sure there's a ton of stuff that we don't see of just what type of teammate he is. I thought that was even that was amazing, but there's got to be stuff where like there's reasons why you guys love him.
Yeah, I mean, well, he really is one of my best friends, and I think from the moment we both got here, we kind of have that same work ethic mindset, and we just like going to work, and you know, we push each other every day, and you know, we're always in the weight room together, and he's outstanding in terms of his competitiveness and his work ethic. And at the end of the day, like, Darnell, truly, all he cares about is winning. And he'll do whatever. And if you guys watch him block, like, this past game. Like, you know, we missed on a couple balls there and there. I thought the one in the end zone probably could have been DPI. But, I mean, most guys would sulk or be, you know, maybe a little pissed off about what was going on and, you know, not getting the ball in his hands or not clicking. And the dude's just fighting his ass off there blocking. And it's so cool to see. And when you got players doing that – you know, you can really go far and do some cool things.
160 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a little more than that.
180?
I don't know. You're not 160.
160.
He's not 200. Okay, fine.
He's pretty wired up. He's pretty wired up. I don't know what he's listed at. He's pretty wired up right now.
Whatever it is, just him throwing his body in there.
Great.
That's trying to underline.
Yeah, for sure.
He's taking on dudes that are 50 pounds more. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so cool to see. Yeah.
Let's see what he's listed at. 173.
Okay, thank you. I mean, I'm not.
Okay, you're not too far off.
5'11", 173. It seems like,
That's where I'm trying to get.
Yeah, 173.
I got a long road to go. I'm working on it.
It's a bad trend over there. But
I quit the Taco Bell. I'm not.
Oh, you did?
I'm not binging Taco Bell
anymore. Oh, shoot. I forgot your Uncrustables. I got to bring those next time.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, I'll bring a box. I'll bring them next time.
I'm going to bring you a banana. Just it opens and it's there and it's delicious.
A banana. I love bananas.
He's aware of bananas.
So you don't know what Uncrustables are. He's not anti-banana. He's just a proponent of Uncrustables.
Okay. All right. Uncrustables probably got some preservatives and stuff. And
absolutely, they do.
Right. I want a nice clean banana.
Get out of here. You got to try an Uncrustable. Right.
I'm sure they have bananas in the locker room too.
We do. Yeah.
It's a football locker room. There's bananas.
Dude, but when you're burning, like when you're at your trainer, like tomorrow, you're burning all these calories. Like you're gonna want it'll get you through the rest of the workout.
All right. I'm gonna bust an Uncrustable tomorrow.
Oh my god. Is that foul language?
Did I say that wrong?
Bust an Uncrustable. Yeah, you can't say that.
All right. I'm gonna try an Uncrustable.
That is insane.
He says all kinds of flakes.
What's wrong with a busted crust? All right, let's go.
Now you just made it worse.
Yeah.
You know what he calls cocktails? Do you want to know this?
Oh my god.
Cockies.
Couple of cockies. Going to go out, have a couple of cockies. Let's go. We had it on the show. We had him on the
show. Every time he says,
dude, it's
April.
There's something wrong.
So foul.
I'm not sure if I'm assuming it is the same April who came from Utah. Yeah.
From Idaho.
April from Idaho brought us some koozies with the cockies. It was great.
This is one of my backpack over there.
Oh, there you go. I had it last night on After Dark.
There we go.
Hogue.
Did you really get kicked out of your tennis match last night? Do you want to talk about this?
I mean, I don't, but.
What did you do?
Let's just this is Cole's time, but just a quick synopsis.
I'm gonna follow up and ask Cole if he ever got kicked out of a game.
A quick synopsis was this: I play high level recreational tennis, but I don't do this drill often. And the guy that runs the drill, he's got a bug up his ass for me, whatever. And he's like, so I show up before I've even like I'm walking out on the court. He's like, you got to tell me when you're coming out for this, and I'm like, so it's a 4-5 drill. Now, he is not letting me play 4-7-5, which is the next level up. But 4-5, I played in this drill a ton of times. You got to tell me when you're coming out. Or I'm like, and I looked around at who's out there. I'm like, I'm the only one that plays 4-5 matches here, and I could beat everybody here. So enough with your noise. But so
and these,
then.
And these other people are probably like.
So you got in a chirping battle with this guy.
I got in a chirp. And so, but like.
How old is this guy?
He's 46.
The 70-year-old.
Okay. So the people that I said this to that I just taunted, they like the one of them just looked at me like I was nuts. And I'm like, that's right.
You think he's watching the show right now? You complain about this?
No, but whatever. But we start the drills and now I'm in my head a little bit and I'm not like I'm not like perfect, like right out of the gates. I got to find a rhythm. So I start flying some balls and he just starts going at me and going at me. And I, then we were doing one drill. I missed three forehands in a row and he just like, he comes at me. And then, so I was like, I'm like, dude, I'm out of here. And I left because the guy was, I was a full attack badger. So
you left on your own will.
I left on my own will. Okay. But he basically was pushing me off the court.
He's pushing you out.
And so now I'm worried that, like, I mean, this dude's a little, he's a little volatile. So I'm worried about my future because, like, he might, you know, these places, they know where I live. So I gotta strategize my safety here at this point because I'm thinking about doing something violent the next time I see him.
I think you guys all need to settle down.
No. Do not.
Recreational tennis.
Sadly for me, the only thing I care about in life is recreational tennis.
Okay. This is what he does. This is what he, when we played golf in the summer, we almost killed each other on the course down in Indy. This is what Mark does. He gets everybody.
That was the worst round of golf in my life.
Really?
You are not.
We almost killed each other.
You are not.
Lawrence was there too.
No.
Awful.
No.
He does this. Back to,
are you bad at golf?
No. Yes. He's just so competitive.
Yes. And it was you that the golf was yours.
It was you.
Okay.
All right. Whatever.
Okay. I didn't care about that.
Super competitive. That's good to know.
Did you ever get kicked out of a game?
I've never been kicked out of a game. No. I mean, I've had some personal fouls and stuff, but. No, never been kicked out of a game. Never had an incident like that.
What about trouble in school? Did you ever get kicked out of class?
No. I was kind of goody two shoes in school, honestly. I was not that I hated being there in class, but I was very just get through the day and mind my own business, and then get to football or baseball practice right after.
Did they
after.
Have any special name for detentions at St. Viator? Because I went to St. Ignatius, they call them jugs.
Justice, jugs.
Justice under God.
Wow. Yeah, that is intense.
Yeah. Intense, yeah.
Yeah,
it's that like, sounds intense.
Yeah. I don't know if that's still a thing or not. Maybe I think we have a couple of Ignatius alums in the God. Chat, but wow. Jugs. And I think I only had like two or three my entire high school, but they were like terrifying when you got one.
I mean, I got a detention because I had like three absences or whatever throughout the year. Like that was my one. But like you just do like some charity work. But no, not that sounds pretty intense.
Jokes. So you would skip school, maybe with your buddies. Somebody gets
no.
Out.
It was no. It was like unexcused absences because I went to like Notre Dame spring practice for the day, and they couldn't excuse. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
They wouldn't look. You're not going to Arlington International Racecourse.
I think they'd let it.
One of those days might have been that. That might have been.
They don't want to give you a pass for that. I mean, come on.
I know. I guess when you go to like. Six or seven of them throughout the year, they start being like, all right, we can't keep excusing these. So
shoplifting, throwing acorns at cars, overcharging people, delivering pizza. Any of these?
No, I would never do that.
Are you just listing your own resume?
Yes,
I would never do that. Never do that. No, I would never do that.
Okay. His resume. Yeah.
You're a troublemaker, Karen.
I was a little wayward as a child, but you know we've turned it around. Thankfully.
Now you're just yelling at old men playing tennis.
The guy wasn't old. Yes, correct.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Quick timeout here. More with Cole Komet in a second. But want to make sure you are getting hooked up with Circa Sportsbook now live in Illinois. They offer tight money line splits, the low hold model. Games will strive to be at a -110 split on the Circa Sports menu. Unlike other sportsbook, they charge more juice. That's what we're getting at here. At other places, Circa takes care of you, so they keep as little money as possible on large market bets, especially compared to other books. And they wanted to let us know today with the Connor Bedard hype going on here. Circa Sports Illinois is going to be putting up goal and shot props for Connor Bedard on every game coming up here. But for today, he is +195 to score a goal. Come on, you know Bedard's going to score tonight. How could he not?
Got it.
I'm saying this as I know nothing about hockey. I know he's good at hockey, and he likes to score goals.
You're a hockey guy. I was.
Wearing that shirt? Oh, yes. Captain, my captain.
This is a great shirt. He's -225 not to score. Shots on goal set at 2.5. The over is -150. The under is 30. So there's some stuff from Circa that they're offering you there. And they also offer high app limits, transparency. Circa Sports does not limit players based on their winnings. Every player has the same limits, unlike other books who do limit winning players. Download the Circa Sports Illinois at circasports.com/Illinois-app.
Yeah, read the chat at
your
own risk.
This is hysterical right now.
Read the chat at your own risk.
Yeah. This is our first time seeing the chat, isn't it?
This is hysterical. Yeah.
Everybody needs to chill.
Also, be on the lookout for Circa events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Text GAMB to 833-234. Visit areyoureallywinning.com.
All right, and shout out to our friends at Game Time Tickets. Download the Game Time app and get yourself in at the best prices. And also get yourself $20 off on your first purchase. I'm looking at Game Time for Bears and Vikings on Sunday. You can get in and see Cole Kmet from the upper corner right now for $163. That's with fees. With fees, baby. Let's go. Come on now. Let's step on up.
With fees. I love it.
Step on it. I mean, you got to give them. Yeah. This is, I mean, we want the real price here.
Right.
Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event, so you can wait, and maybe it'll go down from there. I always like to wait, but sometimes you got to see the market and be the market and feel it. But even after an hour it starts, you could come to our tailgate, and then, you know, an hour later, come on in, you know, get yourself nice and ready to go to the football game and then get your best price. Exclusive flash deals, sponsor deals on tickets, football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, all of it. Here's what you do. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code CHGO, $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, the lowest prices guaranteed.
I got what?
Well, I was going to say, you know, now that we're halfway through the show, a lot of people watching, we're very close to a big subscriber mark.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought, you know, if you haven't hit subscribe yet to our channel, what are you waiting for? Time.
Yeah, you got to hit subscribe.
You got
to. What are we doing?
There it is.
I think we're a few hundred away from 40,000, right? Yeah,
40,000.
Yeah. And there's probably some new people here watching today with Cole Kmet in studio. So please hit that subscribe button. We're here every day at noon. Bears talk every day. And, of course, we cover all the teams. We got the Cubs show coming up at 1.
I mean, our Hawks guys are in Pittsburgh.
Yep. That's right. We have you covered tonight.
Nuts. I don't, like, who thought that was a good idea?
I did.
It's going to be great. I'm excited. I just wish I was there.
By the way, we also have people. I just sent you this love. We have I have some people on Twitter that are tweeting me pictures of Uncrustables saying they're enjoying the show over lunch.
That is fantastic. That's fantastic.
There it is. There it is.
Start the wave.
Is that a grape Uncrustable? Is that a strawberry Uncrustable?
We got a. We're going grape.
They have new honey ones that are really good.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do like honey.
I mean, that's the classic right
it's
there.
All the talk. Uncrustables and everybody in the chat talking about your lost and found Jays. I saw Brenda and a few other people. They saw it from the picture.
Aren't those the ones? Why are they called lost and found?
Because they were lost and now they're found.
Okay.
Because they brought them back, right? Last year.
How old were you when you first dunked?
When I first dunked?
Yeah.
I think I dunked in eighth grade.
Wow.
Into eighth grade.
Wow.
Do you understand the life that you get to lead? Dunking balls in eighth grade? That's amazing.
Yeah, eighth grade.
I'm so jealous. That's awesome.
I have one career dunk.
Really?
No, you didn't. Yes, when it was not in a game. It was playing horse against, what was his name? De'Aaron Williams, I want to say. He was a Wisconsin basketball player when I was at Wisconsin. And we're in the gym, and we're playing horse, and he finally got frustrated with me and just goes up and dunks it because he's like, you can't do this. Can't. And I've always been so close. I can't do it anymore. You know, this was like almost 20 years ago now. And I got up there, and it was not a clean dunk. I raised my hand. It was not clean. The ball, like, kind of... It was over. It just sort of bounced around, and then it went in. I'm counting it. It's my counts. One career dunk.
Oh, wait, I have to go back. I remember you said, have I ever been kicked out of a game? So I played... Park District in high school, the basketball league or whatever in Palatine.
Sure.
And I didn't sign up for it. And my dad was like, you can't be playing and, you know, you can't be getting hurt like in these things. You know, I was already committed to ND and stuff.
Right.
But then I was like, I got to just come out and play. So one of the guys wasn't playing, one of our buddies. So I took his jersey. Jersey was super tight, showed up, and they were like, who is this guy? And then you're not allowed to dunk in the league, and I slammed one to end the game, and then I got they kicked us out.
I mean, that's
that, but it was pretty cool. It was pretty electric.
That's a great ending.
It was great. It was
like
great.
Jimmy Graham against the Saints in the playoffs.
Yeah, just walking off,
jam it, get out of there. Off. You're out. We've never talked about this. Why did you choose Notre Dame?
Yeah. Well, so growing up, I was always fantasized with the Florida team with Urban Meyer. And so that was the team. Like, I was like, I want to go to Florida and play for Urban Meyer my whole life. I was like, that's what I wanted to do. And then, when I started getting recruited, he was at Ohio State. So then it became like, I want to go to Ohio State. And as you start getting recruited, like, you start feeling some things out. And Ohio State was awesome. Like, went to Urban Meyer's office and he put all the championship rings on my brother's hand. And my brother's like, you got to go here. You got, like, he's flashing the rings, you know, all that stuff. So I was like pretty certain I was going to commit. And then, but 2 days later I had a visit at Notre Dame that I had scheduled. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go do it and see it out. And, it was a perfect day and it was like, it was awesome and showed me around. And it was like, I could definitely tell just more of a fit for me. And then, the addition of being able to play baseball was a big deal as well. So yeah, I mean, having the tight end tradition, being able to play baseball close to home still, you know, the network that they have here in Chicago is fantastic. So yeah, there was a lot of things that kind of ended up steering me that way then.
What year was the first year you got D1 offers?
After my sophomore year in high school, I did well my sophomore. I was on varsity my sophomore year, but I was still growing a lot. I grew like 3 inches that off season and I was going to camps, and there were some coaches that my dad had, had played with back when he was playing ball, and they were at certain colleges, and I went down to Louisville for a camp, and I did really well, and you know they were the first one to offer me that sophomore year, and then from there just kind of started to take off. So
how hard would it be if Deion Sanders walked in your living room as a high school kid?
I was saying now, like, that's the place to go. I mean, holy cow, he's got that thing buzzing. I mean you talk about like swag and just the atmosphere there, and you know, being in Boulder's not a bad deal either. So that'd be hard to pass up now. I mean, yeah, especially with what he's got going on.
Did ND help you a lot in the classroom? Do you have a lot of tutors and all that stuff?
Yeah, definitely available.
Didn't need it.
No, I don't want to say I didn't need it. I definitely needed help, especially during baseball season when I was doing both at the time. Yeah. And I literally only had a couple hours every day to do homework, so I had to like figure out how to be really, really good about that. So, but there was so much help that they have there. You know, they don't do the homework for you, I'll tell you that. Okay. But definitely a lot of help, a lot of support system. But school's no joke there. I always tell people it's no joke. Like, it is. It's very hard. Very hard.
I believe it. What if you had to highlight the most fun that you ever had playing football? Mm-hmm. High school, college, now.
Yeah.
Just pure enjoyment of playing the game. What would you say?
It has to be high school. You just can't be. There's nothing. You're just playing it for the guys you've played with since you were so young. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, that's like where the true love of the game grows. And those are some of the best memories. I remember, I think my favorite game I played in was my senior year against Boylan Catholic. We were underdogs. It was the first round of the playoffs. We ended up winning the game, but my brother was brought up for the varsity game, and he had 2 sacks in the game, and it was just it's a lot of fun when you could do that with all your best friends. And you know, my brother got brought up, and be able to play a football game with him was really cool too.
Yeah, I mean, I asked the question because I'm like, you guys, you know, whatever, you're making the money, you're in the NFL, you got the spotlight on you get to be on the CHGO Bears podcast. I mean,
right, these are all
the things.
So many benefits,
you get to sing songs with Carm.
Yeah.
But it's, there's like a, you know, there's just such a huge spotlight and a weight on, like, that you got to perform that it, like, I wonder, like, is it actually fun? Like,
yeah. No, like, I mean, it's not a lot of the times, I'm going to be honest. I mean, when things aren't going right or going your way, it's very hard. It's very hard and difficult to navigate through. But you know, at the end of the day, we are professional athletes and we do this for a living. And you know, if we weren't able to handle all these things, we wouldn't be in this situation. So but it is nice to kind of look back on the high school days when things were worry free and you know, you did whatever out there on the field, and you know what you did on tape wasn't ridiculed the next day.
Right. See. Hogue.
Yeah, there's something ridiculing still a little bit.
Yeah.
Chris Peguero here with $4.99 Super Chat says, Cole, you scrimmaged my high school team your senior year. You're the GOAT. Keep up those fantasy points, baby.
Love it.
By the way, and ask Cole if he remembers hitting a bomb against my friend in his baseball senior night against Elgin Academy. He also struck me out in three pitches.
Yeah, that was a good game for me. I remember that one. Yeah, in Elgin. Yeah.
That was from Murtaza.
Yeah.
Yeah, $4.99 Super Chat. By the way, Vidar, big win over Montini last week.
Big win. I was at that game. Yeah, really big win. They had like a 15-minute fireworks show for their homecoming or senior night.
Wow.
Kind of crazy. It was. I was like, what is going on here? This is ridiculous. But we ended up pulling it out. So that was a good win for the boys of Vidar. Yeah.
4-3, I believe.
Yeah.
One more win.
Name one more win and make playoffs. Eligible. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and your brother is the starting quarterback there?
Yep. Quarterback. I think they got St. Ignatius. They got that kid. I guess
Justin Scott. Yeah. Going to, I don't know if he committed to Miami.
But high end recruit.
He's got offers from
Everybody. Yeah. So they don't know about that game, I don't think. But, I don't know who they ended with. But, I heard they're pretty good over there. So we'll see what happens.
The Catholic League is just insane.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's hard games every single week. So I want to ask you this. We got to meet your parents at the tailgate last week, almost 2 weeks ago now. What was it like growing up in the Comet house? Your dad just seems like he's just
hilarious. Well, it was fun. Competitive for sure. I mean, especially between me and my brother. I remember – like my first time wanting to play tackle football because my dad wanted me to be a golfer like growing up, you know, and then
like me.
Yeah. Right. Right. And then we really got heavily into baseball. Like we were more, I would say growing up, baseball was the number one sport for sure. And then as we were getting a little bit older, I think it was my seventh grade year. I was like, okay, I want to play tackle. Or no, I said this in my sixth grade year. I was like, I want to play tackle. Well, my dad was like, well, if I can pick you up and throw you to the ground without crying, then you can play tackle. So then I was like, I'm good. Never mind. So then the next year.
Cole's
like,
dad is.
And your dad's like, what, 6'6"?
He's big. Yeah, I mean, he's my size. Like he played in the league for a little bit.
If I can pick you up and throw you to the ground.
That was his comment. So
I would have started crying before he finished the sentence. Keep
going. And then, you know, I went back to him, I think the next year, whatever it was, and we were like, all right, no, we want to play. We're ready to go. He's like, you sure? And I'm like, yeah. And like, there was no hesitation in it. So he's like, all right, we'll get going. So then we did a 2-week training camp, me and my brother, before the training camp of Pee Wee football. And he would take one of those boxing bags out in the field, and we would just be running with the ball, and he would throw the punching bag at us, and we have to shed the punching bag and keep running. And we're doing all these crazy drills, getting us in shape for football camp and stuff. But to his credit, we were the best in shape when we got there. So
I was gonna say that's a great dad right there.
Oh, he's the best. Hurling he's the best. Body yeah. Bags yeah. 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 He's been the number one coach for me at the end of the day, but also my biggest fan as well. So he's had times where he's had to be the coach, and you know, now he's at a time where he's just the number one fan. So I think he likes it right now.
Do you ever read the letter to your younger selves that they do at the Players Tribune? You ever read it? No, I don't. It's just interesting the parents and how I love the stories of parents that see their kids that got to the NFL or the NBA or professional tennis or whatever. And the one that stood out to me was to a tennis player, Caroline Wozniacki, 13-year-old.
Shocking that.
I know. Yeah. Well, but the dad said to the kid, like, "Hey, I will help you."
Yeah.
You're talented, you're winning all these tournaments, but the first time that you don't want to go to practice, the first time that you're complaining about this and that, then
it's done.
I'll do everything I can for you, but I don't know if there's anything that would sort of relate to
it. I think my dad was definitely like, he never like pushed it on us. You could almost feel him actually trying to get us away from football a little bit. I think he wanted us to go the more safer route with baseball, but at the end of the day, when we made the decision to do something, they were, you know, both my parents in full support and, gave us every opportunity to succeed in whatever we wanted to do. So, definitely grateful for that.
When you were at Notre Dame, was there any debate over which path you were going to choose between baseball and football, or was it pretty clear that football was?
Yeah, no, I mean, early on it was tough because I just, in high school, we had just won the state championship, and then I reported for football a week later. So I was like in baseball mode, and Look, football practice is not fun. Like, it's just not. It's like it sucks a lot of the times, and you're doing it day after day, like in camp. Like, it gets to be. It gets to. It sucks. It's not easy. So I reported to Notre Dame, and I was still in baseball mode. And you go through the summer workouts, and at ND, if anyone had Matt Bayless, it is a grind, an absolute grind. And you come out of that, you're like, holy cow! And then you get into the season, and my freshman year camp was tough, and I had a coach who really pushed me. And you know, you start to question, like, is this the sport for me? You know, all those things, and you go back and forth with it. And you know, I just stuck with it, and my freshman ended up being great. And then going to baseball that following spring was awesome, and was still like kind of in the balance. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but it kind of just panned out where at the end of my junior year, they were like, hey, like, you could be a late first, early second round pick. And, you know, that's when you kind of have to sit down with your family and start making decisions on things. And it was hard. I was very close to coming back so I could play baseball for another year. But at the end of the day, football won over, and I'm glad it did.
Where do you think you learned the I'm not going to quit? Like, I think a lot of people are like, this is too hard. Grass is green over there. You clearly did not do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I think a lot of that just comes from how I was raised and, you know, the people around me. I think, you know, my number one dude, my brother, who we're so competitive with one another, and we never let each other quit on anything. And he's kind of there to be the one to hold me accountable on things, and I hold him accountable on things. And in whatever it is, whether it's something in school, social life, or on the field. And, you know, we push each other. And, you know, my brother, I mean, I look at what he's gone through this past 3-4 years. He had a terrible ankle injury. And the way he's come back from it and stuck it out. And his whole class has transferred from ND since his freshman year. And he's the one guy that's stayed there the whole time, you know, through a lot of crap. So, we just kind of push each other through that stuff. And just kind of our mentality on things.
Right, because Jeff Smarger, right? He had that decision.
It's like a superpower. To play baseball, that's a superpower right there.
To play baseball or football.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe that he didn't go to play football. As great of a wide receiver as he was in college, he ended up, you know, working itself out for as much money as he made in baseball.
Yeah.
Did it, for you, would it have come down to like a money? If you had known that you were going to make the kind of money Jeff made in baseball, would you have gone that way? Or was your
I don't know if it's ever really been, for me, it's never like a money thing, like comparing. Cause I mean, at the end of the day, like if you're making it, like the money is going to be good either way. But it was more just about, doing kind of just going where I felt like I was kind of called to go. The football opportunity, for me at the end of the day, like my dream has always been to be a professional athlete. I didn't know if that would be football or baseball. And when I got the opportunity, you know, you're kind of just playing, just to play. Like even in college, like you're just not really thinking that this could potentially happen. And, you know, when the grades start coming back and you see kind of where your career could pan out from there, you know, I was like, okay, let's do it. And honestly, in my head, I was thinking, I was so young at the time, and I'm still young. I was thinking, all right, I'll do it now. And if football doesn't work out, like I could try and
what
go back
to
baseball.
What kind of pitcher
were you? So I was a lefty. I was a closer in college. A
lefty.
Yeah.
Wow.
Closer. I'd sit like 91 to 93. My topped out 96. Best pitch was my slider. So, definitely had looks for baseball, and I definitely could have gone down that path. The journey's a little longer than the football one for sure. But
like, Smarja got like a crazy minor league deal that you don't really see to like
and it worked out for him. It was funny, I saw something where he was like at one point ranked the 30 something best pitcher in baseball, and Calvin Johnson, who was in the same class as him, was the number one ranked receiver in football. And like the disparity of how much more Jeff was making than Calvin Johnson was pretty crazy to see. So
That makes sense.
We have a super chat that I think sort of plays in here. Luke saying, Cole, who was your favorite baseball player growing up?
My favorite baseball player was Aramis Ramirez, third baseman for the Cubs. I loved the way he played. He was my favorite guy to watch.
Nice.
That was a transformational deal for the Cubby back then.
Yeah.
2003.
Yeah.
20-year anniversary of a lot of interesting things coming up this month.
That's true, Barman and all. I want to know what the Greg Baggs Jr. Super Chat $1.99. What's your
parody account? Yeah. So
that's not actually you.
This is not me.
I mean, where did they get this photo?
That's me in a hot tub.
In Indianapolis when you guys were practicing there. at eight in the morning in August. We had an Airbnb near, actually right down the road from the practice facility. That place was sweet, by the way. Just the whole area.
It's a great photo.
I couldn't sleep.
You know, so you're outside in a hot tub by yourself taking selfies.
Heavily drinking till 2 in the morning.
Drinking. Calm down. But I was drinking.
Yeah, till 2 in the morning and then getting up 3.
And then continuing the cigar at 8 in the morning. In the hot tub again.
Mortifying individual.
Frightening way to wake up.
But the point is, what'd you buy with the contract money? Do you have anything?
Honestly, haven't bought anything yet. Just been super busy with this year trying to get things going here. So haven't done anything like that yet. I'll probably do something. I'm an experienced guy. So
I was going to say, do you do like, and when the off season comes, do you do something?
Yeah, like this past off season, it was actually, I was running a camp out in Germany. The PA like linked me up with it, and me and my girlfriend went out and we spent at a military base. We spent a weekend in Germany, and then we went while we were out there, we stayed in Italy for a week and did some traveling and stuff like that. So I'm sure I'll spend it on like an experience or something like that.
Italy, best place.
Yeah, unbelievable. Ugh. Just unbelievable. Yeah, I'd never been overseas before, and it was really eye-opening. You know, really cool to see just how people operate over there. So it was awesome.
Part of why everyone thought the Bears were going to be playing the Chiefs in Germany this year, I think.
I was really hoping for that. I was really hoping for that.
I think the thing that stuck out when I went to London for the Bears-Raiders game at Tottenham, the thing that stuck out to me the most, like as a bricklayer, did that for a long time, it's well documented, but in Chicago, like when you fly over the city of Chicago, well you see
documented. It's well documented.
By who?
By everyone. Okay. Just listen to me.
You can read about it in the newspapers.
Gosh, yeah. My guy Six Peach. He said, "Shut up, Hope." All right, and I had to relay that message, so I got it right now. You got it, Six Peach. Now, what I'm saying is, when you fly over the city of Chicago, you see how structured, like the streets. And when you go to London or cities like that are older, that have been around much longer, they built the cities first and then had to figure out the road second.
Yeah,
and here it's the opposite.
It's the opposite
that's
way.
The thing
yeah.
That stuck out to me.
No, that is interesting.
That's all I had to say, all right?
Great
now
grid.
Shut up.
Yes.
Now I'll shut up.
Love our grid. Great grid here.
Oak's looking at me like, where are you going?
But cobblestone streets.
It's circular instead of square.
I mean, it's...
Yeah.
And the food's unbelievable.
Yes.
I mean, I ate so much food in Italy, like... And I was like, okay, I'm going to come back. I'm going to be 275, and it's going to be an issue. I came back 5 pounds lighter.
Look at that. You were moving around.
Isn't that unbelievable?
A lot of walking,
that is a lot.
You're probably moving a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was that. And I just think, like, because I guess there's no preservatives.
Probably healthier.
And, yeah. It's way cleaner.
Yeah.
So,
there's not Uncrustables.
Gut was feeling good. All that stuff.
Exactly.
So,
Shout out Uncrustables.
Let's eat pure.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't have, I don't know if, I think Uncrustables might be illegal out there.
Did you do the Amalfi Coast? Did we get that?
We did the Amalfi Coast. Yep. We did Rome. Amalfi Coast and Rome were the two places
did
I hit
the Colosseum.
Yeah, that was sick.
That's intense.
That
right?
was really cool. Yeah, that was really cool.
You been?
No, I've not been in Italy. We went to Paris last year, but
the Colosseum is like, go down there and someone's gonna die.
No, and then there's like they found like remains of like really exotic animals because they do animal fighting. Like there was like. Remains of a bear and like giraffes, like really crazy stuff.
Yep. I mean,
it's cool. I highly recommend.
Wild. All right. Now we get to the fun stuff here. Sunnyside, your home for judgment-free cannabis shopping, a place where all kinds of visitors are welcome to explore, discover, purchase a wide array of high-quality products. Sunnyside is everything you need to elevate your football season, no matter where you are on your cannabis journey. Easy online ordering and in-store pickup. They make it nice and easy for you. Great transparent loyalty program called Sunnyside Rewards. They're Illinois' favorite dispensary. House of brands at Sunnyside includes Mindy's, Good News, Cresco, High Supply, Floracal, Wonder, and Remedy. And now through October 15th, you can head to sunnyside.shop. Use code CHGO25 at checkout for 25% off your total order. One use per customer, not stackable with other promotions. That's not only for new customers. Anyone can use our code. Pick up everything you need to elevate your football season. Again, that's code CHGO25 at checkout. You get 25% off your total order. Must be 21 plus or an Illinois med card holder.
And when you're going to Sunnyside, make sure you get fitted out in the best sports gear around. Hit up FOCO, F-O-C-O, and use the code CHGO on all non-presale items. hoodies, shoes, signs, bobbleheads, and everything in between. It's still baseball season, playoff baseball season. Get your Aloha shirts, straw hats, polos, bags, everything you need for a game. Set decorations that have been provided here. You see here on the table and behind us. Foco donated a few of those awesome pieces for our set, so go show them some love. And we'll continue to show them some love. Check out foco.com or click the link in the description below for all non-presale items. Use the promo code CHGO for 10% off.
I got a couple quick just football things. One of the big conversation points this week is that you guys are looking to hire a defensive analyst to help Flus with the defense in some way, shape, or form. Like, not the same thing for you, but, like, can somebody come in at this point of the season and make an impact like that? Or is, I mean, how would that?
I mean, I'm
that?
Sure. I mean, if they feel like that, I think whenever you can bring in guys that kind of bring in a different perspective, you know, aren't around the building and come in with a fresh eyes almost, I'm sure that's what kind of what they're aiming for on that. And I'm sure that'll bring benefit to those guys. And, you know, obviously with our DC going, like originally going down and now Flus having to kind of do the head coach and call and plays role. Yeah, I'm sure that, you know, they're just looking for a fresh perspective on that. And, yeah, that can I feel like that can totally help for sure.
Did the flu celebration in the locker room catch you off guard at all? Did you see him?
I didn't see it. No, I was a little late coming in. I had to do media out in the field. Okay. But someone said, like, there was...
I mean, the video is like, he looked like he was having the time of his life. It was, like, cool to see him that way.
No, that's great.
Dance moves, they were pretty funny.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know. I don't. If there's a video, I got to find it or something.
I mean, it's out there somewhere.
I can't imagine him dancing.
Right? I was like, wow. I mean, it seemed like... I don't know.
It looked like
it felt like a big deal.
I was going to say.
No, like, it was a big deal, man. I mean, it's been a while for us. And, you know, the guys that were on the team last year and going up through this year, like, it's hard. These losses are hard every week. And it's hard when you're not winning. And, you know, like I said, after the game, my initial emotion was just relief.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and I'm sure a lot of guys were feeling that way. So it was really cool and glad we got that first one. And you know, like I also said, we got a lot of ground to make up, but, you know, I'm confident that we can kind of start plugging away here.
Like, you legit sleep better now.
Look, yeah. Yeah.
I was going to ask you about the weekend. Did you, when you're off on a Sunday, do you sit there watching football games?
Yeah. So, well, I was planning to golf twice, but my body was just in shambles after the Thursday night game. So I had to cancel both golf outings, which sucked. But, I just hung out, met up with some buddies for dinner on Saturday. So that was nice to kind of go out and do that. Kind of a mental break from everything for me. And then Sunday, I mean, how can you not watch football? That it is, and when you watch it, I was talking to my brother about it, like, I mean, maybe because I'm in it and I go play at 12 o'clock at noon and then I'm done and then I just go home, you know, and I kind of stay removed from it when I can. The spectacle of the NFL is unbelievable.
It is
unbelievable. Yep. Like, you watch it, you're like, they own this whole day.
They do.
They own the whole day.
I watched Red Zone all of Sunday.
I mean, how can you not?
It was incredible.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I'm like, this is great. I don't have to focus on anything. And, like, literally every 5 seconds, something else is – it was awesome.
And then Monday, and then it's Monday night. It's like, holy – it's one thing after the next. It is crazy.
Well, especially Sunday, they had the London game, too. So,
right.
Like,
it's all day.
You literally wake up. There's football on in four different windows from the time you wake up to when you go to bed. It's great.
It's unbelievable.
Hold on. Let me just go back to something you just said. Your body is in shambles. How long after a normal game until you feel like normal again?
Usually by so if we play Sunday, usually by Thursday is when I feel better. Okay. So it's tough when you have the Thursday games. It's like you're like kind of just feeling better once the game starts.
I mean, I was firing away on Twitter on Thursday because there were so many guys were going down in that game.
Yeah, it's hard.
And I'm like, y'all care about player safety and all this stuff. It's like you're asking them to play on Thursday. None of this is good for these guys. Like,
yeah, it's hard. I think at the end of the day, it just comes down to adjustments. And look, at like the league, they're going to continue to try and do primetime games as much as they can. Look, at the end of it, that's good for us too. So, it's just a way of maneuvering around it. And, you know, I think, you know, obviously coaches want to get their practice reps in, but like there's going to have to be a balance as more of these primetime games go. And when we have these quick turnarounds that you're going to have to balance during the week. So, but yeah, it's hard. I mean, when you got to go from Sunday right to Thursday, it's a quick turnaround.
Is the benefit of having the weekend off after the game worth grinding through a Thursday game?
I love it. Yeah, I love it. Like, I if you told me we had three Thursday games in a year, I'd be like kind of all for it. I mean, because we walk through the whole week, so we don't really practice. We'll do a little something, but you walk through the whole week, and then you get the whole weekend off. So it's nice. Yeah, I do like it. And then you get a fresh week going in, and It kind of just gives you a little mental break in the season.
It's like ripping the Band-Aid a little bit.
Yeah, like it kind of sucks while you're in it a little bit because you go right from the Sunday game, no days off, and you're grinding through it. But the benefit on the back end, I think, is pretty nice.
I always said when the schedule came out that I thought it was really interesting how they laid out the two Thursday night games and then your bye week. I thought they were like
it's nicely paced out. Yeah, so we have five games, and the fifth game was the Thursday game, and I think – our 10th game is the Thursday game, and then 2 weeks later we have the bye week. So I think that
– and after each layover, it's a division opponent.
Yeah, yeah. No, so that is nice. Yeah, it is very nice.
So your least favorite then would be Monday night?
Yeah, Monday night sucks. Yeah. Just because you wait all week. So you watch the Thursday game. You watch all the games Sunday. You have to wait all day Monday. You play Monday night, and then you have to quick back turn around to Sunday. And so, yeah, it does suck.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's the sort of the misconception I feel like is like there's just this assumption that everyone hates Thursday games, and like I don't think that's actually the case.
No,
but now they're starting to talk about doing these, and they already did it this year. They had 2 weeks where there was double headers on Monday nights,
mm-hmm.
which is doubling the amount of you know
prime time viewership.
They have to play these Mondays, and I think that that's actually in some ways tougher for the reasons you're bringing up.
Yeah, no, I'd rather play if you told me Thursday or Monday night, I'd pick Thursday night all day.
Sunday at noon is kind of nice, too.
Sunday's great. I love Sunday at noon.
All right. How much are we going to miss Cole Kmet? I'm Cole Kmet. What the
fuck? He's Cole Kmet.
Wow. Cole, how much are you going to miss Khalil Herbert? Thank you. It's all right.
Khalil, well, okay, just move on. We'll talk about it. Don't do that to me.
24.
Yeah, don't do that to me.
24.
We're talking about Khalil. Big time. I mean, he's really come on the past 2 weeks, and his running style has been awesome, and I love his mentality.
I love Khalil.
Oh, he's great. There was a run against the Broncos where he found the seam of the hole, but he got tackled by the safety, and he could tell he was a little ticked off that he let a safety tackle him like that. But then if you watch the game on Thursday night, same type of deal happens. Boom, is able to cut back off the safety.
Yeah.
But you knew that was in his head all week, and like that's cool to see. When something like that happens and he's able to break free and make the safety miss and get more yards after that. That was pretty cool.
I mean, the dude's 5'7", 5'6", and he's carrying six guys on his back.
He's a muscle hamster. He's a beast, man. He's great. He's great. I think he's a little faster than people think. He's a fluid runner, powerful, and he's got a good feel. I think he's got a really good feel for this offense and the run scheme we're trying to do. So, we're going to miss him, and hopefully he's able to bounce back here quickly.
Yeah.
Are you, I know you're probably not in the O-line meetings when they're, like, going through run game blocks or anything, but there's got to be some crossover there. Like, how much are, like, when I see Darnell Wright just train that guy, just run him over.
Yeah, and that QB counter with Justin.
That cannot feel good if you're a DB, just getting run over by that massive human being.
Yeah, it's awesome to see. I think that stuff's so much fun. And when you had a guy that's that athletic that can pull like that and do those things, it's just a lot of fun. So,
well, and the one where he came flying over to the right side and took that guy out.
Yeah.
Was it a screen?
I think it might have been a screen.
And he just
was it when DJ got the ball? I can't remember. But I mean, he's flying around all the time. I think that's his one thing is like he can almost get sometimes like too out of control at times because he's just throwing his body everywhere. But that's a great problem.
A lot of momentum.
It's a great problem to have if that's what we're talking about.
Well, and there was another one too where what didn't end in a huge hit, but I remember seeing on film there was one play where Nate Davis was like 20 yards downfield It seemed like a blink of the eye. It was like, how did he get down there?
It's awesome. Yeah, when you see those guys covering like that, it's awesome. I mean, for me, a guy like myself, like I'm going to try and stay up when I catch the ball and to know that they're kind of coming, knock you forward for another 3-4 yards, like that's a big deal.
You guys made the 4th-and-1, let's give it to Justin maneuver here, which takes you out of that for a second here. Are we happy with this adjustment?
Oh, the Philly brotherly push thing that we were trying to do? Yeah, I mean – well, we've been doing it on up tempo, so you kind of get them while they're tight a little bit. They can't sub, and it's just the easiest way to kind of go into it. It did look good. Yeah, hey, but you know, you could still see me under center here and there if we want to take a hit off Justin. So
all these fans think that play is going to get outlawed.
The push?
Yeah.
How do you outlaw it? Like, what about
that's what
it
I'm
is,
saying. Like, I don't know how.
And at the end of the day, like, I think this is just me, like, philosophy of the NFL. Like, they want offense, and that promotes offense. So I don't see.
Well, and why can't
I think they're okay with it because it continues the draw and it promotes points.
And why can't the defense just have the exact same formation on the mirror it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think at the end, like, I think it's a little like, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's an advantage that obviously Philadelphia picked up on that you can do, and you got to have some dudes to do it. But I think at the end of the day, it promotes offense, so they're going to keep it around.
What if Reggie Bush is the one pushing?
Then it's illegal.
See what I'm saying?
See, I just want you to know, I think I'm the only one in this city that likes when you go under center for the snake. Everyone hates that play.
Why not?
And I mean, why put Justin there?
Well, it didn't work one time.
Yeah,
but like, we've done some cool things off of it, and
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, last year in Detroit.
Last year, Detroit,
like that was sweet. So, yeah, look, I mean, it didn't like I said this after, like, it's cool when it works, and when it doesn't, it looks stupid because it's a tight end taking a ball. But like, it is what it is, and we know that.
From a fan standpoint, when a play doesn't work, we hate it.
Yeah, and that that makes sense.
So don't
that makes sense.
When it doesn't work, don't do that again.
Yeah, right.
Unless
yeah.
it works, and then we're fine.
Yeah, Only run the good plays.
Yeah. Only run the plays that work. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You could do that. We'd appreciate that.
Yeah, I like that.
We got to get out of here, but we always end every show with super chats. We should probably fly through these.
What about the skyscraper guy?
What about the skyscraper guy?
Great.
Yeah.
We can talk about that too. Excited. There's a guy climbing.
You were telling me before. Yeah.
Did you see this guy?
Am I supposed to show this now?
I don't care. No. Okay. If you want to ignore skyscraper guy,
it's great.
Do
it's
it.
Going on in
care.
The city here. Yeah, there's some dude climbing Accenture Tower.
This is what you guys are doing to Bears fans. We're so excited that we're climbing buildings.
We'll be right back.
Oh, my gosh. Was he
wearing Bears garb?
I don't know.
Is he still going right now?
No. He got to the top.
I did send you some pictures, but that's
whatever,
okay.
man. That's fine. It's all right. It doesn't matter.
I agree. I'm not sure what this has to do with the Bears show.
It has nothing to do with the Bears show. Neither does Carm's tennis game.
But we were trying to get to Cole's doing wild things, which we covered, and we're good.
I think we're good on that.
We're good.
I'm just impressed by this skyscraper climber. No, to me, it's the talk of the town.
I was hoping it was
good
you.
Good courage.
All right, Mr. Cub, D. Swanson 7. Bears go 13-4, Super Bowl champs. Who says no? Cole, looking forward to many home run swings. Bear down, CHO crew is awesome.
I love that.
Is there anything that you get a greater rush from, by the way, in all sports when you catching a touchdown pass and getting to do that? I mean, can you compare that to anything else? Big strikeout, hitting a bomb, I don't know.
I'd say a home run, probably. Yeah, that same type of feeling you get when you get a home run. Yeah, that's probably the comparable feeling, I'd say.
It looks so fun.
It is fun. It is fun. Scoring touchdowns is fun. It's fun.
Do you watch any of the baseball games yesterday?
I didn't. No, not yesterday.
Just the ending of that Phillies Braves game was insane. It was like a great catch, and they doubled off Bryce Harper at first base.
To end the game.
Bryce Harper. What are you doing, bro? I mean, the throw went to the third base side a second, went through
and got bobbled.
Two cutoff men, and Austin Riley, who hit the homer in the eighth, he gets the ball at third base and chucks it over there and gets him.
Yeah, and it was almost a home run. It was a great catch. It was just an insane play. Yeah. All right. Nevitz, $10 here. Guy on the left with the trophy behind him.
Carm.
Whose name I don't know.
It's Carm.
Talked about AI this week. Yeah, the artificial intelligence, we named it. Should probably
see Carm. Don't take this like you don't take this personally.
He does.
No, don't.
Me and Carm get in a fight with the chat every day.
So he's trashing you for your takes.
This town is just truly amazing.
I just think he's more bugged by the guy on the left who I don't know his name.
2 weeks ago, Cole, for the record, I had to come on here and say, do not boo Justin Fields if things go wrong on Sunday against Denver. He is the hardest working guy. He's a first class guy. I don't care if do not boo him. Now, if I don't say that Fields is going to be a top five quarterback in the league, like tomorrow, I'm hating on him. So Justin's playing amazing. I'm rooting for him.
That's where we were at the start of the season, so everything's back to where it was supposed to be.
He hasn't passed Patrick Mahomes yet. That doesn't mean I'm hating on him. He's on his way. He's playing great. I love what's happening.
That is so good.
We're always in a fight.
The Duke chiming in. $49.99. Cole, you're a stud. Sorry you have to talk to this Carmel Catholic coach. Just kidding. Love you, Hogue. Good to see another Rich Viator grad on the show.
Oh, wow. There it is. That's something. Wow.
The Duke's always...
The Duke.
The Duke's got money he throws around.
Is it $50?
Yeah, that's $50. He'll throw like $200 post game sometimes.
He's the Duke, man. $400. We appreciate it.
The Duke's keeping us employed.
You probably know the Duke. The Duke's probably.
It sounds like I do. All right.
By the way,
I think it might be George McCaskey, but we're not 100% sure.
Wait, I want to point this out though. Since CHGO started the hashtag Staying with Fields, hashtag, I guess that would be 43 of 64. 67 completion percent completion percentage, 617 yards, 8 touchdowns, and 1 interception for a QB rating of 131.
What's so up? It's all you guys.
That's what
he
it
did
is.
Did this. You're welcome.
Those are just facts right there.
Yeah, that's nice.
And then I shaved my head last week, and you guys are 1-0 since then. So you're also welcome, Cole.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Also, well, let's give Cole some credit, too. I think he has 3 touchdowns, since officially joining CHGO.
Couldn't do it without the hashtag. Yeah, so I appreciate it.
Look at what we're doing.
I mean, I LFG'd you right when on the touchdown last week.
Oh, that's huge, man.
I mean, none of the blame.
No, that's where you should be.
I freaking loved it.
Garode here, €5. I'm starting to get this currency stuff down. Yeah. I'm really. You should see the amount of international fans we get on this show. It's
really?
Crazy. Yeah.
That's cool.
He won €250 on the Bears win and commit anytime touchdown.
There you go.
Thanks, Cole.
You're welcome. You
Bear down.
You're welcome.
And Mad Mike 999. Speaking of Ohio State, question to Cole Komet. Did you and Fields have a gentleman bet handshake on ND versus Ohio State?
We were trying to get something finalized. We never did. We were going to do a jersey or – so you got to wear the other team something, but we never got it finalized. Him and I stayed up all night watching that game. That was a tough loss there at the end. So
that was brutal.
That was tough.
Sanborn's big into the Badger. I hear him talking about Wisconsin.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is.
His brother's on the team too.
Yeah, I know. I understand, but you know, such a mediocre university. think you want to move on from that? Let's go Hawkeyes. Come
How
on.
Your school?
That's
which one? I don't know. Iowa or Northwestern, whichever one you're claiming today.
Cats are 3-3.
No,
Kevin
you're
a bandwagon guy.
No, I'm not a bandwagon guy. I'm a deep heart underdog. Grew up 20 minutes from Wildcat Land and was taken there, so I became a Cat fan, and then I went to Iowa.
Evanston kids.
Wow.
It's worse.
Snobby Highland Park. Let's call it right. But we didn't have the 10-man landscaping crew. We only had the 4-man. I didn't have a glass backboard. We had a wood backboard. It was tough on my side of the street in HP.
The 10-man landscaping crew. That's what the Notre Dame defense was in the last two plays.
Yeah, it was really unfortunate. Really unfortunate.
I mean, occasionally I had to mow the lawn myself.
There's
tough.
No school I hate more than Ohio State. So I don't care who they're playing. That made me not happy when that game ended the way it did.
I see you, Brenda. But
great job not going to Ohio State. I appreciate it.
Get Cole out of here about that.
Yeah, we got to let Cole go. I appreciate everybody being here. Please,
Cole, if you want to stick around, we got Cubs and I'm sure they'd like your takes on the Cubs.
He probably could just jump in. A Cubs analyst.
Did they make the playoffs? Oh, no, they didn't.
No.
Did they sell anybody off for the future? No, they didn't.
He's a hater. Certified hater.
Just get out of here. They made a nice run and fell short. They're on their way.
Stephen Haynes, like quick end of the show here. He always throws one in right at the end of the wire. 5 pounds sterling. Momentum building. Roll on, Vikings. Take the North. What? Yeah,
good luck to that.
Love
it. You're going down.
Wait, he's a Bears fan. Why is he saying that?
Roll the Vikings.
He's saying roll on the Vikings.
Roll on Vikings.
Momentum building.
Okay.
It's a big game this week. NFC North. Take care of it. Kevin Carlson, 1999, went to San Diego for a wedding this weekend. Watched the Bears win at this awesome Pacific Beach Bears. I've been to that bar. Solid weekend all around. Let's get another dub against the Vikings. Bears 31, Vikings 20.
Let's go. Oh, yeah.
I was there with Northwestern for the Holiday Bowl. The Bears were playing the Vikings. I think it was the last week of the 2018 season. They were playing for seeding. I think the Vikings were trying to get in the playoffs. Whatever it was, I was at that bar that he's talking about. Packed to the brim of Bears fans.
Really?
In San Diego.
That's pretty cool.
It was awesome. It was a really cool environment. So I know what he was talking about. All right. We're out of here. We'll be back tomorrow at noon. It should be a pretty busy day at Hallis Hall. So we'll have all the news covered. Nicholas Moriano will be there covering it for us as well. We got Cubs coming up at 1:20. Hawks coverage coming all night from Pittsburgh. Our crew is out there. We got pre and post. So happy Connor Bedard Day. It should be a fun night of hockey. And stick with us here at CHGO. Make sure you subscribe. Check out the CHGO Locker. Bragg's rocking the Meatball Island shirt today. It's yes, there sir. For you. And Cole's got one of our awesome sweatshirts on. So it's all there for you, CHGOlocker.com. Cole, thanks so much for being here today.
Appreciate you guys.
Good luck against the Vikings.
Go Blackhawks, baby. Done.
There you go. Talk to you tomorrow.
We all silly like the mayor.